Our gospel reading this morning comes from the gospel according to Matthew, the 16th chapter. The holy gospel according to Matthew. Glory to you, Lord. Then Jesus told his disciples, "If any want to become my followers, let them deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For those who want to save their life will lose it, and those who lose their life for my sake will find it. For what will it profit them if they gain the whole world but forfeit their life? Or what will they give in return for their life?" This is the gospel of our Lord. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Aloha. Aloha. It is good to be back on the mainland after suffering for a week in Hawaii. Thanks to Pastor Bruce for once again stepping in the pulpit so that Robin and I could be away, and thank you for not preaching too long, even though CC wanted you to. For the second Sunday this summer, Pastor Bruce has preached the first sermon in a new sermon series we are starting in June. He preached the first sermon in our four-week sermon series from 1 John, and last week he preached the first sermon in our five-week sermon series from 1 Peter. Now, 1 Peter is the first of two letters that are generally attributed to the Apostle Peter, and it was written as a circular letter, not that it was round, but meaning that it needed to be circulated and shared with Christians who were spread out into five different regions: Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia. And it was written to both encourage and affirm its readers who were separated geographically, but were likely experiencing some of the same persecution as Christians. "You are not alone," the letter repeats, "for you have sisters and brothers in the faith, whom you haven't even met, who are suffering similarly because of their faith. Nor are you alone because of your relationship with Jesus Christ, who himself suffered for you." And in that there is hope, Pastor Bruce preached last week. And that hope is grounded in the good news of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, through whom we have entered into our citizenship in God's everlasting kingdom. Today I offer this sermon as a letter, an epistle, if you will, to Ellie, my grandniece who's sleeping appropriately in the first pew, who I will be baptizing shortly. Her brother, I won't tell you which one, says he doesn't watch our worship services online because my voice puts him to sleep. It might be her grandfather. Like we are doing with Peter's letter to the Christians in the first century, you are welcome to eavesdrop on this letter that I've written to Ellie. "Dear Ellie, I've got some good news, and I've got some bad news. The good news is that your moms and your sponsors are presenting you to be baptized into the body of Christ this morning. They are choosing for you to have you baptized into this family, that is the Christian church. It's the same family that Peter wrote his letter to, although it's a couple of millennia removed and we're on a different continent. But that's the thing about the family of God, Ellie. It's really, really, really big. Now, it's been around for a long time, and although there's talk that the mainline denominations are declining and shrinking, I think the Christian church is going to be around for a lot longer, and I think that's pretty good. I hope you agree. But Ellie, just like you didn't get to choose the family into which you were born into, you don't really get to choose who else is in the family of God. Now, I happen to think that you won the family lottery, I mean, with a few exceptions. Look at all your family that's here today, and there's plenty more who are joining us in spirit. It's pretty impressive. We had to do all we could to compete with the Lowndes after last week. But just like in your family, in the family of God, there will be people that you like better than others. You know, like your favorite great uncle, but that's just our little secret. Anyway, in your family, there will be times when someone says or does something that'll make you just shake your head or want to cry. There'll be times when you have to agree to disagree with someone else. And that's okay, because that's what we do with family. You see, we give one another mutual affection, and we love one another deeply from the heart, as last week's reading from 1 Peter concluded. And in order to do that, we rid ourselves of the negative things that Peter wrote about at the beginning of our reading this morning. Things like malice, guile, insecurity, envy, and slander. These things bring tension and stress to our relationships. But not so with the selfless love that Peter writes about. The selfless love that Jesus has given to each and every one of us. Now, ridding ourselves of these other things can leave us vulnerable to suffering, Ellie. But such is the way of the cross. You are being baptized into the death as well as the resurrection of Jesus Christ. You are being born anew, born again, even though you are still an infant. But as such, you are the perfect age. The perfect age to be nurtured with the spiritual milk that is the gospel of Jesus Christ. During your baptism, your moms and your sponsors, as well as this church, which represents the broader Christian church, will make some commitments to you, a covenant, if you will. We will promise to nurture you in the Christian faith, to raise you among God's faithful people, to bring you to the Word of God and to the Lord's Supper, to teach you the basics of the Christian faith, including camp songs like the one that we sang as we gathered for the children's message this morning. We promise to support and pray for you, Ellie, in your new life in Christ. And we promise to welcome you into the crazy family of God that is the church. And we promise to support you, to love you, to comfort you when suffering comes because of any persecution that you might endure as a child of God. For we are family here, Ellie, and family has each other's back. Now, I wish I could tell you that you won't be hurt by your family, but unfortunately, you might be. Because even within family, we don't always get it right. We don't always treat each other with love the way that we should. And that, Ellie, is why we stand equally in need of the forgiveness that comes through the suffering of Jesus Christ, who bore our sins in his body upon the cross, so that dying to sin, we might live for righteousness. Righteousness, Ellie, it's a big word. It means right, true, loving, honest relationship with God. And we are made righteous, somehow worthy, through the suffering that Jesus has done for us. And as a result of that righteousness, we dare to imagine to live as Jesus lived, recklessly loving one another, even though doing so puts us at risk of being hurt, at risk of suffering. But the cost of that suffering, according to Peter in this letter, and according to the Apostle Paul elsewhere, is nothing. Absolutely nothing compared to the glory that you are entering into through the waters of holy baptism. That glory, Ellie, is everlasting life in the presence of God and God's family, such as we are. So welcome to the family. Welcome to the family of God. For we are no longer divided amongst the five regions that Peter wrote to, but across generations and around the world. But even though we are divided, we are united. United through the waters of holy baptism and united through the love that has been freely given to us all through the blood of our Savior Jesus Christ. United by our common need for forgiveness and the grace that has been extended to us all. We are united, Ellie, but we are not uniform. That is, we are not the same. And in our diversity, there is beauty. There is love. And it's only through Jesus that we could imagine seeing our diverse selves as part of the same family. For in Jesus and through the waters of baptism, we have been made one. So we welcome you, Ellie, as we welcome one another with the love that was first given to us by God, a love that we don't deserve, but that we graciously receive, and at our best, we graciously share abundantly. Dear Ellie, welcome to the first day of the rest of your eternal life. Amen.